Imagine for a second, just, you know, picture this. You decide to sell your house.
Okay.
You put a sign in the yard on a Thursday morning.
Right.
And by Friday, you have like 20 people walking through your living room.
Oh, yeah. The frenzy.
Exactly. And by Saturday night, you're staring at 5 different offers, all of them $20,000 to $30,000 over your asking price.
With waived inspections, probably.
Oh, completely. Waived inspections, waived appraisals, buyers practically begging you to take their money.
Right, yeah.
And, I mean, that was the absolute undeniable reality in Tarrant County just a couple of years ago.
It really was.
But, you know, fast forward to today. It's late March 2026.
Spring is here.
Spring is here. The Easter holiday is right around the corner. We've got that spring break buzz in the air. The pollen is actively trying to defeat us all.
Oh, tell me about it. It's brutal out there.
It's everywhere. But anyway, you're doing your spring cleaning and you decide, hey, it's time to list the house.
Yeah.
But this time, that exact same house is going to sit on the market for an average of 64 days.
Yeah. 2 full months.
2 full months. And when you finally do get an offer to the closing table, those buyers are going to actively, methodically just negotiate away over 5% of your asking price.
Which is a huge mental shift for sellers.
It's massive. So, I mean, what exactly changed? And more importantly, if you're the learner looking around your newly spring-cleaned house right now, just wondering if you should list it, how do you navigate this totally new reality without leaving tens of thousands of dollars on the table?
Well, that's the big question, isn't it?
It is. Welcome, learner, to another custom-tailored deep dive. Today, we are answering those exact questions.
Yeah, and it really is a massive shift in the ecosystem.
Yeah.
And to help you, the learner, really understand exactly what's happening beneath the surface, we've curated a very specific, highly localized stack of data for this deep dive.
Right. We're getting hyper-local today.
Exactly. Our foundational source today is the brand new February 2026 Monthly Indicators Report, and it's provided by Ntrace. And actually, a quick insider tip for you, the learner, if you want to sound like you truly know the local real estate landscape, you pronounce that acronym as NetTrace.
NetTrace.
Yeah, it rhymes with rust.
Rhymes with rust. Got it.
You never spell out the letters. If you spell it out, everyone knows you're an outsider.
I love a good industry shibboleth, you know? It's like a secret handshake.
It really is.
Yeah.
But, you know, historical data, even from just last month, is really only half the picture.
Right, because things move fast.
Exactly. So we are layering the NetTrace report with hyper-current North Central Texas mortgage rate data.
Like up-to-the-minute data.
Yep. Pulled exactly on March 20, 2026.
Wow. Right.
Because you really can't understand home prices without understanding the cost of the money used to buy them.
Oh, that is so true.
And finally, to translate all of these raw numbers into actual deployable strategy, we're pulling from some very specific advisory notes provided by Pete Realty.
And that right there is the mission for this deep dive. Because the real estate landscape in spring 2026... it's complex.
Larry.
It's not that Wild West frenzy we saw in the past, but as we're going to see today, it is absolutely not a dead zone either.
No, not at all.
So we're going to unpack the mechanics of this market. We want to show you exactly why a home sits for 64 days, why buyers are behaving the way they are, and this is the most important part, why treating your home's listing like a strategic asset is so crucial.
And finding the right local guide to manage it.
Exactly. Finding that guide is really the only way to win right now.
But, you know, before we can put Tarrant County under the microscope, we really have to look up at the sky.
The macro view.
Right. We have to understand the macro weather report. Because local real estate doesn't exist in a vacuum.
No, of course not.
It's constantly being pushed and pulled by national and regional atmospheric pressures, so to speak.
I completely agree. And the national headline right now, I mean, it sounds incredibly gloomy if you just catch a soundbite on the evening news.
Oh, sounds terrifying on the news.
It does. The data shows that U.S. existing home sales have dropped 8.4%.
Wow.
Down to a seasonally adjusted annual rate of 3.91 million.
Right.
Now, before we go any further, let's not just throw jargon around.
Please don't.
For the learner listening right now, what exactly does seasonally adjusted annual rate mean?
Yeah, that's a great question.
Because 3.91 million, I mean, that sounds like a lot of houses, but an 8.4% drop sounds terrible.
Well, it's a vital clarification. You see, real estate is inherently seasonal.
Sure.
People don't generally want to move their kids in the middle of the school year.
Right.
And nobody wants to carry boxes through a blizzard in January.
Ugh, no, thank you.
Right, so spring and summer always see a massive spike in sales, while winter always sees a trough.
Makes sense.
So if economists just compared February sales to June sales, the market would always look like it was crashing in the winter.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, so a seasonally adjusted annual rate, or SAAR, it basically takes the data from a single month, accounts for those normal seasonal dips and spikes, and projects what the entire year's sales would look like if that specific month's pace continued.
Okay, so an annual rate of 3.91 million basically means that if the exact pace of the current market held steady for 12 full months, less than 4 million homes would change hands across the entire country.
Exactly.
Wow.
And historically speaking, that is a very sluggish pace.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
But the key here is understanding the why behind that 8.4% drop.
Right, what's causing it?
If we connect this to the bigger picture, this isn't a situation where millions of people are trying to sell their homes and no one wants to buy them.
It's not a lack of demand.
No, it's actually a structural bottleneck. The national total housing inventory stood at just 1.22 million units.
Meaning there just isn't enough inventory out there for people to buy.
Precisely. It's a phenomenon that economists call the lock-in effect.
The lock-in effect. Okay, break that down.
Think about the millions of homeowners sitting on, say, 3% or 4% mortgages that they locked in a few years ago.
Right, the golden handcuffs.
Exactly. Even if they want a bigger house, or maybe they want to downsize, the idea of giving up that incredibly cheap debt.
Just to take on a new mortgage at today's rates.
Exactly. It's financially terrifying to them. So
Yeah.
they just stay put.
They don't list their homes.
They don't list. National inventory stays at a measly 1.22 million. And because there's literally nothing to buy, the total volume of sales drops by 8.4%.
Okay, so that is the national cloud cover,
Right.
a completely frozen market dictated by a severe lack of supply.
Yep.
But here is where we transition into the regional data, and this is where I need you to explain a massive contradiction to me.
Okay, lay it on me.
The North Texas regional response to this national freeze is entirely different.
It really is.
Regionally, across North Texas, new listings are actually up 3.6%.
Yeah.
That is 15,428 properties coming onto the market.
It's a fascinating divergence, isn't it?
It really is. I mean, while the rest of the country is clutching their 3% mortgages and refusing to move, Texans are putting their houses up for sale.
Yeah, they're making moves.
But here's the friction point in the data. Despite this 3.6% bump in new fuel being poured into the market, pending and closed sales in the region are actually down.
Right.
If there are more houses available to buy in North Texas, why aren't sales skyrocketing?
Well, to answer that, we have to look directly at the cost of money.
The mortgage rates.
Exactly. This is why we pulled that raw lending data from March 20, 2026.
Let's hear it.
Lenders in the Dallas-Fort Worth and North Texas region are currently offering 30-year FHA fixed rates, sitting between 5.85% and 6.12%.
Okay.
But the APR on those FHA loans is sitting between 6.48% and 6.86%.
Whoa.
And if you look at a 30-year conventional loan, the rates are between 6.12% and 6.32%,
Wow.
with an APR of 6.28 to 6.39%.
Hold on, I'm going to interrupt you right there because this is a perfect place to clarify something that trips up almost everyone outside of the banking industry.
Oh, definitely. The rate versus APR confusion.
Yes. You just threw out a 6.12% FHA rate, but then you said the APR is up to 6.86%.
Right.
That is a massive gap. That's nearly 0.75%.
It is a big jump.
For the learner, what is the mechanical difference between the interest rate and the APR? And why is the gap so much wider on an FHA loan compared to the conventional loan?
That is the multi-thousand-dollar question, truly.
It really is.
So the interest rate is simply the base cost of borrowing the principal loan amount.
Okay.
It's basically the sticker price of the debt.
Just the raw cost of the money.
Right. But the APR, or annual percentage rate, is the true cost of the loan.
Because it includes all the extras?
Exactly. It rolls in all the mandatory fees, the origination charges, and most importantly, the mortgage insurance.
Ah, the mortgage insurance.
Yes. So an FHA loan is backed by the government, which allows buyers to put down as little as 3.5%.
Which is great for first-time buyers.
It's fantastic for getting your foot in the door. But in exchange for that low down payment, the government requires a hefty mortgage insurance premium, both upfront and annually.
So you're paying for that privilege.
Exactly. And when you mathematically bake that insurance cost into the life of the loan, it spikes the effective rate, the APR, all the way up to that 6.86% mark.
Wow, okay. That makes sense.
And conventional loans, assuming the buyer puts down a decent chunk of cash, they have lower or sometimes zero mortgage insurance.
Right.
Which is exactly why their interest rate and APR are much closer together, sitting right around that 6.32% mark.
You know, I want to use an analogy here to explain why this specific data point is driving the drop in closed sales.
Go for it.
Think of the current interest rates like a massive, incredibly strict bouncer standing outside of an exclusive nightclub.
I like this.
Okay, so the nightclub is the North Texas housing market.
Ah.
Right now, there is actually plenty of room inside the club. I mean, we just established that new listings are up 3.6%.
Yeah, a club is actively opening its doors wider.
Exactly. But the bouncer, that 6.86% APR, is standing at the velvet rope checking wallets.
Oh, yeah.
And he is turning thousands of eager buyers away at the door because they simply cannot meet the new, incredibly high entry fee required for a monthly payment.
Yep.
The supply is there, the club isn't full, but the cost of admission has disqualified the demand.
That is a perfect way to visualize it. The buyer pool haven't lost their desire to own a home, right?
Right. They still want to get in the club.
Exactly. They have mathematically lost their purchasing power.
But if the bouncer is turning everyone away, does this mean the regional market is stalling out? Like, are we headed for a total crash in North Texas?
No. And the data is very clear on this. What we're witnessing is a stabilization, not a stall.
A stabilization.
Yes. The market is attempting to find equilibrium. And I can point to two specific regional metrics to prove that.
Let's hear them.
First, the Regional Housing Affordability Index.
Okay.
Despite those high interest rates we just discussed, the affordability index in our region has actually jumped 10.9% up to a score of 102.
Okay, wait. I have to push back on that.
I thought you might.
That makes absolutely zero intuitive sense.
I know, it sounds weird.
You just told me that a 6.86% APR is turning buyers away at the door.
Right.
How can a housing market become more affordable when borrowing money is so expensive and total sales are dropping? If it's more affordable, shouldn't more people be buying?
It sounds completely contradictory until you look at the underlying math of how the index is actually calculated.
Okay, walk me through the math.
The affordability index looks at three things. Median income, mortgage rates, and median home prices.
Income, rates, prices. Got it.
Right. So a score of exactly 100 means a family earning the region's median income has exactly 100% of the money needed to qualify for a median-priced home. Because mortgage rates have been stubbornly high for a while now, sellers in the region have finally started to concede.
Ah, they're dropping their prices.
Exactly. The regional median price has softened by 3.5%.
So the actual sticker prices of the homes are dropping just enough to counterbalance those heavy interest rates.
Exactly. The 3.5% drop in the actual price tag of the home is providing just enough relief to offset the sting of the interest rate.
Which pushes the index up to 102.
Go. It means the median family now has slightly more than enough income to qualify. It's breathing room.
Okay, that makes so much more sense now.
Yeah, it's just the market correcting itself so that transactions can actually happen.
And what is the second metric that proves we're stabilizing and not just crashing?
The month's supply of inventory. For the entire North Texas region, the supply is sitting completely flat at 4.4 months.
Let's define it mechanically for the learner. Month supply means that if every single seller stopped listing their house today, like, if not a single new home came onto the market starting right now, it would take exactly 4.4 months for the current pool of buyers to purchase every single house currently available.
That's exactly right. It is the ultimate measure of supply versus demand.
It really paints a clear picture.
It does. And in real estate economics, a perfectly balanced market where neither the buyer nor the seller has a distinct upper hand is generally considered to be around a 6-month supply.
Okay.
So at 4.4 months regionally, we are still technically in a seller's market.
But barely.
Right. It's a very calm, rational seller's market. The fever dreams of 2022 are completely over.
Thank goodness.
Yeah, we are finding a new healthy baseline.
Okay, so that is our macro weather report. The national market is frozen in a lock-in effect, but our North Texas region is defiant.
Very defiant.
We're adding inventory, we're seeing prices soften just enough to boost affordability, and we're settling into a calm 4.4-month supply.
Yep. That's the regional climate.
But now that we have that baseline, let's step into the microclimate.
Let's do it.
Let's zoom in directly on Tarrant County. Because if there's one thing I know about local real estate, it's that the regional averages tell you the climate, but they absolutely do not tell you the weather on your specific street.
Oh, definitely not.
Tarrant County does not play by the same rules, does it?
Rarely.
Yeah.
And this is where the data becomes incredibly nuanced.
Yeah.
When we isolate the Netrons data specifically for Tarrant County, the local mechanics are fascinating.
Here is where it gets really interesting, Lerner. Remember how the overall region saw a 3.6% bump in new listings?
Right.
Well, Tarrant County has blown past that.
Oh, big time.
New listings in Tarrant are up a robust 6.1%.
That's a huge jump.
It is. That is 2,633 new homes hitting the market in a single month.
Wow.
Homeowners in Tarrant are highly motivated to list this spring. But just like the region, the buyers are wrestling with the bouncer at the club.
Yep, the rates are still there.
Right. So closed sales in Tarrant County took a massive 10% dip, dropping down to just 1,369 closed transactions.
So we have a rapidly increasing supply and a severely contracting demand.
Right. And if you took Economics 101, you know what is supposed to happen next.
Prices drop.
Exactly. Supply goes up, demand goes down, prices are supposed to plummet. But the data reveals what I'm calling the great price paradox of Tarrant County.
The price paradox. Oh. I like that. And this is perhaps the most revealing data point in our entire stack of sources.
It really is. Listen to these two numbers side by side. The median sales price in Tarrant County is down. Well, actually, it's barely down.
Just a tiny bit.
Yeah, it's down 0.5% to $345,000. It is essentially flat.
Completely flat.
But the average sales price in the exact same county during the exact same month is actually up 5.3%.
Up to $436,656.
Yes. So let's unpack this, because I'm looking at this data and just scratching my head. How on earth can the median price of a home drop while the average price spikes by over 5%?
It is a beautiful statistical anomaly. It is, because it tells such a vivid story about human behavior and wealth distribution in the county.
Okay, explain that.
When you see a gap this wide between the median and the average, it strongly suggests that Tarrant County is operating as a tale of two markets simultaneously.
Walk us through the math on that, because, I mean, we throw the words median and average around in casual conversation as if they mean the exact same thing.
Right. People mix them up all the time.
But mathematically, they paint entirely different realities.
They absolutely do. Let's take them one by one. The median is simply the middle point of the data set.
Okay.
Imagine you take all 1,369 homes that sold in Tarrant County last month.
Okay. I'm picturing it.
And you line them up on a giant spreadsheet.
Yeah.
From the absolute cheapest fixer-upper all the way to the most wildly expensive mega mansion.
Got it.
The home that sits dead center in that line home, number 685, sold for exactly $345,000.
And the fact that this middle number dropped by 0.5% tells us what exactly?
It tells us that the broad middle-of-the-road volume of the market is highly price-sensitive.
Ah.
This is the core of the middle class. Mm-hmm. These are the buyers looking at that 6.86% FHA APR and just sweating over their monthly budget spreadsheet.
They're feeling the pinch.
Exactly. They are negotiating fiercely. They are walking away if a house is overpriced. And they are basically keeping the massive middle of the market totally flat.
Okay, so the middle is holding the line.
Yep.
But the average is calculated differently.
Very differently.
The average is the total dollar volume of all 1,369 sales added up in a giant pot and then divided by the number of homes.
Exactly. And because it's a giant pot of money, the average is highly susceptible to being skewed by the extremes at the top end.
Okay, I think I see where you're going.
Think of it this way. If you have 10 people in a coffee shop who all earn $50,000 a year, the median income and the average income of that room are both $50,000.
Right.
But if a billionaire walks into that coffee shop to buy a latte, the median income of the room barely moves.
The middle person still makes 50 grand.
Exactly. But the average income suddenly skyrockets into the tens of millions.
Ah. So what you're saying is that the billionaires, or in this case, the luxury buyers, are walking into the Tarrant County coffee shop.
Precisely. The fact that the average jumped to $436,656, an increase of 5.3%, it tells us that higher-end homes are moving.
The luxury properties?
Yes, the luxury properties, the impeccably updated estates in premium school districts, they are selling for an absolute premium.
Wow.
There's a whole subset of buyers who are completely insulated from the interest rate shock.
They don't even care about the rates.
They don't have to. Maybe they are executives relocating with massive corporate packages, or maybe they're selling a $2 million home in California and buying a $1 million home in Tarrant County in cash.
Right, the bouncer at the club doesn't bother them.
Exactly. Whatever the mechanism, they are not asking the bouncer what the entry fee is. they're just walking right past the velvet rope. They are paying top dollar for premium product, and they are pulling the average up, all while the vast middle is holding the median steady.
A tale of two markets. That is incredible insight.
It really defines the county right now.
But here's the thing. Regardless of whether you are selling a $345,000 median home or a luxury estate, there is one overarching gravitational reality governing every square inch of Tarrant County right now.
And that is the total inventory.
Exactly. Because despite that 6.1% bump in new people putting signs in their yards, Tarrant's total inventory is only 5,815 homes.
Right.
Overall, that total number is actually down 2.4%.
And this brings us to the most crucial metric for anyone listening who actually owns property in Tarrant County.
The supply.
We need to look at the month's supply of inventory for just this county. Those 5,815 homes represent just a 3.2-month supply.
Let's do the comparison because this is staggering.
We established earlier that the North Texas regional average is a 4.4-month supply.
Right.
And a balanced, healthy market is 6 months.
But Tarrant County is sitting at 3.2.
Yeah, 3.2 months.
That is a massive discrepancy.
It is a chasm in the world of real estate economics. It proves definitively that despite the hesitation caused by interest rates, despite the 10% drop in closed sales, Tarrant County remains a notably tighter, significantly more competitive market than the counties surrounding it.
People really want to live there.
They do. It is a highly coveted place to live. The foundational demand is rock solid, and the inventory simply cannot keep up with the amount of people who want to put roots down here.
Okay, so let's translate this spreadsheet data into daily human reality.
Let's do it.
Because, I mean, looking at 3.2 months of supply on a chart is one thing, but actually living in a house with your family, keeping it perfectly staged while it's up for sale, that is a deeply human, incredibly stressful experience.
Well, it's exhausting.
Knowing that Tarrant has this bizarre paradox of ultra-low supply but hesitant, rate-shocked, budget-conscious buyers, how does this actually affect a property owner's daily life?
It changes everything.
We have to pivot to the metrics that hit the listener's wallet and calendar directly. We need to talk about time on the market and negotiation margins.
What we refer to as the seller's stopwatch.
The seller's stopwatch, exactly. Here is the reality check from the NetTurns data. Homes in Tarrant County are now taking an average of 64 days to sell.
64 days.
That is a 3.2% increase from this exact same time last year. Think about what 64 days actually means.
It's a long time to live in a museum.
It really is. That is two full months of keeping your kitchen spotless, vacating the house in a moment's notice so a stranger can look at your closets, dealing with the dog, managing the kids' toys.
It is an endurance event. Huh. There's no other way to put it.
Yeah.
And the data shows that the endurance event doesn't end when you finally get an offer.
No, it doesn't.
When they finally do get to the closing table after the 64 days, sellers in Tarrant County are receiving, on average, 94.7% of their original list price.
I want to pause right here. Let's put ourselves in the learner's shoes. If I am listening to this deep dive and my last memory of the real estate market is from 2021 or 2022, I am used to a frenzy.
Right, the weekend warriors.
I am used to the weekend warrior market. Hearing that my house is going to sit for 64 days gives me hives. It makes me think something is fundamentally wrong with my property.
Which is a natural reaction.
And on top of that, you are telling me that buyers are successfully negotiating away 5.3% of my asking price.
That's what the data says.
Let's do the math on that. If I list my house for $400,000, a 5.3% reduction means I am losing over $21,000 at the negotiation table.
Tough pill to swallow.
Is the market broken, or do sellers just need a massive psychological reset?
It is absolutely a required psychological reset. This raises a critical point about the mindset of the current buyer in spring 2026.
What are they thinking?
You have to understand the psychology of someone staring down a 6.86% APR. When money was virtually free at 3%, buyers could afford to overlook a dated kitchen, an aging roof, or weird paint colors.
They just wanted the house.
Right, they just threw cheap borrowed money at the house to secure it before someone else did.
Yeah.
But today, buyers are paying a massive premium for the privilege of borrowing money.
Right.
Because they are paying so much in interest to the bank, they feel financially squeezed. Therefore, they demand perfection, or at least financial fairness, in the physical product they are buying.
They are ruthless.
They are incredibly rationally picky. A home sitting for 64 days isn't failing. It is not a red flag.
It's just normal.
It is simply undergoing a standard, deliberate, shopping process. Buyers are touring your home on a Saturday, going back to their apartment, thinking about it for a week.
Comparing it to other homes.
Right, comparing it to three other homes on the market, running the numbers on their mortgage calculator, and then maybe, just maybe, coming back for a second look 2 weeks later.
Wow.
It is a rational, slow-moving market, not an emotional, frenzied one.
And that explains the 94.7% list-to-sale metric.
Exactly. Buyers are using those 64 days to find flaws.
To build their case.
Yes. They are getting rigorous inspections. They are using every chipped tile or older HVAC unit as leverage.
They want a discount for everything.
They are asking for concessions. They are demanding the seller pay for closing costs. Or they're just flat out offering $21,000 less than asking.
Mm.
They know the seller's fatigued by day 45 and they are capitalizing on it.
Which means a property must be perfectly positioned to justify its price from day one.
Absolutely.
You cannot just throw a random optimistic number at the wall and see what sticks anymore.
No, those days are over.
Because if buyers are scrutinizing your home for 2 full months and negotiating harder than they have in half a decade, a homeowner cannot afford to just guess at their list price.
Guessing is dangerous.
You can't just look at an automated algorithm online and assume it's gospel, and you absolutely should not be doing random expensive renovations based on what you saw on a weekend home improvement show, just crossing your fingers that it pays off.
Guessing is the single most expensive mistake you can make in a stabilizing market. When 5.3% of your equity is on the chopping block, you do not need a cheerleader. You need an expert strategist.
And that brings us directly to the actionable takeaway from our source material today.
Let's get into it.
If you are sitting in your Tarrant County home right now, looking out at the blooming spring flowers and seriously thinking about listing, you need an unparalleled, data-fluent local guide.
Yes.
The advisory notes we are working from explicitly highlight the solution, David Peet at Peet Realty.
And we really need to look at this objectively, analyzing the concept of what an agent must be in 2026.
It's different now.
Completely different. The value proposition of engaging a professional strategist like David Peet in a market defined by a tight 3.2-month inventory, but a dragging 64-day time on market, it cannot be overstated.
No, it's vital.
According to the advisory notes, the historical model of a real estate agent, you know, the person who just hammers a sign into your front yard, prints some flyers, and waits for the phone to ring that is completely dead.
Dead and buried.
That passive model guarantees you will be the seller giving up 5.3% at the negotiation table.
Right. And the sources strongly suggest that listeners contact David Peet first before you make a single move.
Before anything.
Before you hire a painter, before you even buy a single moving box. And the notes explicitly outline 2 specific things you should ask him for.
Okay, what's the first one?
First, you need an estimated selling price based on these exact hyperlocal conditions. We aren't talking about the national news, and we aren't even talking about the North Texas regional average.
Right, because we saw how different Tarrant is.
Exactly. We are talking about Tarrant County, your specific zip code, your specific neighborhood block, and your specific floor plan.
Because as we established with the price paradox, you need to know if you are selling to the rate-sensitive median buyer or the cash-heavy average buyer.
You have to know your audience.
Right. Only a local expert knows exactly which buyer pool is currently shopping in your specific neighborhood.
Exactly. And the second thing you must ask for is strategic advice on home investments.
This is huge.
This is where a true strategist earns their keep in a 64-day market.
It really is.
I love looking at this through the lens of return on investment, or ROI. I really think you should view a strategist like David Peet as a financial advisor for your drywall and your landscaping.
A financial advisor for drywall. That's good.
Think about it. You would never blindly throw $15,000 into a random tech stock without asking a financial advisor if the market conditions suggest it will yield a return.
No, that would be crazy.
So why on earth would you spend $15,000 gutting and remodeling your primary bathroom this spring without knowing if the Tarrant County market will actually reward you for it?
It's a brilliant analogy. Because in a market where buyers are actively shaving 5.3% off the list price, you might literally never get that $15,000 back.
It just evaporates.
Yeah. A luxury freestanding soaking tub might look amazing, but it might not move the needle 1 inch for a buyer who is terrified of their 6.86% FHA mortgage payment.
They don't care about the tub if they can't make the payment.
Right. That specific buyer might heavily prefer that you spend $8,000 installing a brand new, highly efficient HVAC system so they don't have to worry about maintenance costs for the next 10 years.
And David Pete has the experience, the boots on the ground, market pulse, to answer those exact ROI questions definitively.
Yes.
He can walk through your home with an objective analytical eye and say, spend $2,000 on fresh neutral paint in the living room, but absolutely do not touch the kitchen countertops because the buyers in this specific zip code won't pay you back for the granite.
That is the crucial difference between merely hoping your house sells and strategically liquidating a massive financial asset.
It's a strategy.
It is a game of precision. And, you know, as a necessary structural reminder to our listener, the Pete Realty source material prominently highlights the Texas Real Estate Commission information about brokerage services.
Or the IABS.
Right, the IABS.
Let's touch on that briefly because it actually really matters. What is the IABS?
It is a foundational consumer protection element of real estate in Texas. Engaging a professional, fully licensed broker like David Pete ensures that all of this data analysis, all of the complex contract negotiations during those 64 days, and all of these market strategies are handled completely above board under Texas law.
Right.
It establishes a fiduciary duty.
Meaning he is legally bound to protect your money.
Exactly. It legally binds the professional to act with your best financial interests at heart. When you're dealing with an asset worth hundreds of thousands of dollars and buyers are actively trying to negotiate away 20 grand of your equity, having that layer of fiduciary protection and expert advocacy is absolutely critical.
It's peace of mind, period. You wouldn't go to court without a lawyer. You shouldn't navigate a 64-day, heavily negotiated real estate market without a fiduciary strategist.
Well said.
Okay, so let's pull all this together. Let's zoom back out and recap the massive journey we've taken through this data stack today.
We've covered a lot of ground.
We started by looking at the national housing freeze, which is causing a stabilizing regional cool down right here in North Texas. And this is being driven undeniably by the bouncer at the club mortgage rates sitting firmly in the 6% plus range.
But we discover that Tarrant County operates in its own unique microclimate.
Yes, it does.
Despite the high rates, Tarrant is showing incredible resilience, operating on a remarkably tight 3.2-month supply of homes compared to the region's 4.4. The foundational demand to live in Tarrant County is just unshakable.
Right. But, and this is the defining reality for the spring 2026 seller. The mechanics of how a home actually gets sold have completely shifted.
They really have.
We are now living in a 64-day market. The weekend frenzy is a ghost of the past.
It's gone.
The buyers are deliberate. They are highly sensitive to their interest rates. They demand perfection. And they are successfully negotiating the final price down to 94.7% of asking.
Yep.
Which proves one ultimate thing. Selling a home right now in Tarrant County is a game of inches, not miles.
Every dollar spent on pre-listing preparation must have a guarantee ROI, and the initial pricing strategy must be flawless to survive those 64 days.
Exactly. Which is why reaching out to a data-driven strategist like David Pete at Pete Realty is hands down the smartest, most mathematically sound first step you can take before you clean out that garage.
Don't guess.
Don't guess. Get the strategist.
You know, I want to leave you, the learner, with a final thought to mull over as you look out your window at the blooming trees this spring.
Let's hear it.
We've spent this entire deep dive talking about the hard numbers, the rates, the 3.2-month supply, the 64 days on the market. But at its very core, residential real estate is entirely about human perception.
That's very true.
In a market where buyers now have 2 full months to meticulously scrutinize your home instead of 2 frantic hours, the house that tells the most cohesive, compelling value story is the one that wins.
The value story.
Yes. I want you to look around your property right now, today, with fresh eyes. What story is it telling? Is it a story of deferred maintenance, DIY projects, and future stress for the buyer? Or is it a story of turnkey comfort, reliability, and true value?
That's a great perspective.
And most importantly, is it the exact story that today's interest rate conscious buyers are mathematically willing to pay for?
That is the multi-$100,000 question. Figure out your home story and then get the right strategic guide to help you tell it to the market. Thank you so much for joining us on this incredibly detailed deep dive into Tarrant County's real estate ecosystem. Stay curious, learner, and we will catch you on the next deep dive.